Well, this is a time for humor, and God wants us to have a sense of humor, because if he didn't, he wouldn't have created the elephant, and wouldn't have created the giraffe, and so many other funny animals that really make us laugh, and we wonder why they have the platypus has a great big nose, you know, how can it possibly eat when it's clapping its mouth and catches food? But, well, this is the Lord. And a sense of humor is, I think, a gift. And it's good for us. So, and why do we have, for example, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is what? Joy. Joy means smiling. This is not joy. You know, down in the mouth. But joy is laughter, smiling. So, well, this is a time for laughter. This young woman came into a hospital emergency entrance, nervously approached the reception desk. Her right hand was swathed in a towel, which she cradled gingerly in her left hand. She answered the usual questions in detail until she was asked the nature of the injury. With that, she extended her hand and said hesitantly, you'd better look. The receptionist summoned a nurse, who carefully unwound the towel, and there, superglued to all five fingers, was a neatly repaired china cup. So forever she has her cup ready, right? Poor. Going to bed with her cup. We heard a good remark, the cup runneth over. This is getting better as we go along here. This is entitled Looking Good. This is the wife talking. I am more athletically inclined than my husband and frequently engage in biking, canoeing, and other strenuous activities. Several years ago, when my husband was 60, he came inside after a day of yard work, collapsed into his favorite chair, bemoaning the aches and pains of his advancing age. Attempting to comfort him, I reminded him that when we were newly weds, he had looked forward to growing old together. Yeah, he replied, but you haven't kept your end of the bargain.
That's probably what my husband would like.
And I'm thinking of the other husband and wife situation. If I can find it quickly, but maybe I can digest it if I can't. And it has to do with this husband and wife were celebrating their anniversary. And he was being affectionate. And he said, happy anniversary, honey. And he gave her a hug. And she said, well, it's not as good as it used to be. You also give me nice sweet kisses. And then he did that, and he said, well, there's something else I miss, too. You used to nibble my ear. Oh, he said, wait a minute until I get my false teeth. Gloria picked up on that one. Well, you have to believe that's real, right?
Getting better, believe me.
We won't need any flu shots after this.
This man is saying, it had been many years since my last eye exam, and my wife was pestering me to make an appointment. The more she nagged, the more I procrastinated. Maybe I told this, but better laugh at the right time. Finally, she made an appointment for me. The day before I was to see the doctor, I was in an affectionate mood. After kissing and hugging her, I told her she really looked good to me. "That doesn't," she said. "I'm canceling your appointment." Well, this may not have happened to you recently, but in your dating days, this man is saying, after I had purchased movie tickets for my girlfriend and me, she went inside to find seats while I got the popcorn. By the time I was served, the previews were being shown, and I stumbled my way through the dark, sat down, and gave my girlfriend a kiss. Then I heard a familiar voice say, "John, I'm back here."
Go to the eye doctor.
As you see, I'm trying to give you the best here. We give you 4-star. Oh, yes. Many of you have been in a hospital. Some of you may be nurses. At the hospital where I trained as an operating room technician, many doctors were performing their residencies. They were kept quite busy. One hectic afternoon, as I was headed into an examining room, I saw one of the residents whiz by with a thermometer behind her ear. I didn't think anything of it until I entered the room. There sat a man with a pen under his tongue. What are they doing here? Doesn't it look like a thermometer? And I think I told you about the lady in the gift shop and the shrine, right, last night?
No.
This woman is saying, I operate a gift shop and information center at the Shrine of St. Joseph in the mountains of Yarno, Arizona. A group of visitors listened intently as I described the history of the shrine. "Are you a nun?" asked one woman. "No," I replied, laughing. "I've been happily married to the same man for 50 years. "Oh, you're a saint."
Yes.
I would think so.
Yes.
Oh, yes. You have to use your imagination on this one. 3 men were sitting in a park bench. One in the middle was reading a newspaper. The other 2 were doing imaginary fishing. They were baiting imaginary hooks, casting lines, reeling in their catch. A passing policeman stopped to watch the spectacle and asked the men in the middle if he knew the other 2. "Oh, yes," he said, "they're my friends." "In that case, you better get them out of here." "Oh, yes, sir." And he started rowing furiously. I think they were not ready for fishing. They were ready for the the farm. The man slammed down the book he was reading. He looked over at his wife. "I'm sick and tired of sitting around here with you all the time. I want to find someone I can have fun with. I'm going to shower, shave, use some of that cologne I just bought. I'll put on my best suit, and after that, I'm coming back down here, and guess who's going to knot my silk tie for me?" she looked up from a magazine and said, "The Undertaker." All right. Our last one for the time being. It's called The Name of the Game. A scientist planning a prehistoric animal fossil dig for some Texas 5th and 6th graders purchased a child's game that included 30 miniature dinosaurs. Then he wrote to the manufacturer for the identity of some of the models. He said, "I recognize the Brontosaurus, the Tyrannosaurus, the Protoceratops, and the Trachodon, but I need to know the proper paleozoologic name of all the dinosaurs from which you made the models." After weeks of waiting, he finally received a letter from China naming the dinosaurs from right to left: Eddie, Fred, Flo, Frankie, Morty, and Susie. Well, what do you expect from China? Excuse me.
You better watch where that tape goes.
Well, you know how parents love their children, but there are times when they wish they were on a planet. Well, you're prepared for it now. The Moorhead Planetarium in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, recently had a show called A Trip to the Moon. One afternoon, a family of five weary sightseers approached the box office. Father asked for tickets. Two adults and three children. One way for the children. And then three famous surgeons were bragging about their skills. "A man came to me who had his hand cut off," said one. "Today the man's a concert violinist." "That's nothing," said another. "Guy came to me who had his legs cut off. I stitched them back on, and today that man's a marathon runner." "I can top both of you," said the third. "One day I came on the scene of a terrible accident. There was nothing left except a horse's posterior and a pair of glasses. Today, that man is seated in the United States Senate." And might be the president, too. Well, put that on record here. And if you ladies take your husband to a banquet, when he's eating a lot, you better be careful. This is what happened here. This man's name is Horace. Not Horace, but Horace. He grabbed his plate, walked up to the party buffet for the fourth time. "Aren't you embarrassed to go back for so many helpings?" asked his wife. "Not a bit. I keep telling them it's for you." And of course you know that health bill they're trying to put through is so thorny, and it's going to hurt so many people if they don't make compromises, that everybody's stressed over it. Well, this physician went to heaven and he met God, who granted him one question. So the physician asked, "Will health care reform ever occur?" "I have good news and bad news," God replied. "The answer is yes, but not in my lifetime." So we'd better pray that all the people affected by it will be benefited. And I may have told some of you this one, but it bears repeating, and especially you women will love it because, well, you're the ones who are put down so many times. The wife says, there's trouble with the car. It has water in the carburetor. Husband, water in the carburetor? That's ridiculous. Wife, I tell you, the car has water in the carburetor. You don't even know what a carburetor is. Where is the car? In the swimming pool. See, the ladies all enjoy that. Give it to them. And this man goes to the doctor and says, Doc, you've got to help me. I'm suffering from amnesia. What should I do? Oh, go home and forget about it. And, of course, I guess some of you heard this one. Not sure whether all of you did. But in this small town, the parish was not a wealthy one. The pastor had to depend on the parishioners for upkeep and maintenance. And so they needed to rewire the confessionals. And the only way to reach that area was to get up in the attic above the ceiling of the church and balance yourself on the rafters. Now, his wife was concerned about his safety and insisted on waiting in a pew below. So, unknown to her, some parishioners had congregated in the vestibule in the meantime. But they paid little attention to her, assuming that she simply had stopped to pray. Now, she was worried about it. So, after a time, she looked up toward the ceiling. Now, the people don't know that he's up there. See? So she looks up, she says, Sam, and they're hearing that back there. He must have died. Sam, are you up there? Did you make it okay? And a voice came down, yeah, I made it just fine. And they're all aghast. A voice from heaven. I only got a snicker out of that. I think you're just snickerers. Say that again. Yeah, Gene and Vinny. When I told that Irish joke, Vinny got so much fun out of that. Now, this also, too, is worth recording, though. You may have heard it. A highway patrol officer stopped a speeding motorist. Don't you know what the blinking lights and siren mean? Oh, yes, sir. Then why didn't you pull over immediately? Officer, I would have, but last month my wife ran off with a policeman, and I was afraid you're breaking your back. Oh, I know you'll like this one, but I hope it didn't happen to you. This lady was planning a weekend of entertaining guests. She says, I made a list of things I needed to do, including taking food out of the freezer and grocery shopping. As it happened, a friend whom I had been promising to take out to lunch asked if we could make it that Friday. So, hopping into the car, I taped my list to the dashboard, went to pick her up. As she settled in the car, her face dropped. Thanks a lot, she said. Then I glanced at my list and saw the first item. A takeout turkey. Well, she didn't mean that, right?
No, why is she? No, she didn't. The other lady. Excuse me. Tell you jokes.
All right. When you do the laundry for the kids, I wonder if this happened to you. While unloading the laundry from the dryer, I discovered that my son's red crayon was in the batch and had melted all over the white uniforms and underwear. As I feverishly scrubbed the clothing, my son came by and explained what had happened. I explained, "Oh, don't worry, Mom. I have another red crayon." That's when you wish they were on the moon, huh? Back to the planetary with you. Blast off. And these three friends, a surgeon, engineer, politician, were discussing which of their professions was the oldest. Surgeon said, "Eve was created from Adam's rib, surgical procedure." The engineer replied, "Before Adam and Eve were created, order was created out of chaos. That's an engineering job." Politician said, "Yes, but who do you suppose created the chaos?" And I bet you ladies would come to this course when it would be announced this way in a parish called Church of Christ. It said, a series will be presented of community classes on various subjects throughout this month into March. The classes offered include how to lose 100 pounds from 7 to 9 p.m. Monday. The whole parish came. And this may not be theologically correct, but it's funny. A seminary in Kentucky, students entering the room for lunch were greeted by a sign which read, "Take only one apple, God is watching you." At the other end of the table was a large tray of chocolate cookies with a hastily scribbled sign which read, "Take as many as you want, God's back there watching the apples." And here's your answer to the birds and the bees. My two married sisters have very different lifestyles. The older sister and her husband have two children and cannot afford the luxuries enjoyed by my younger sister, who has no children. One morning when my nephew asked his mother why they can't have a Mercedes-Benz like his aunt and uncle, she replied, "Because we have two children to raise." Some weeks later, my sister took advantage of a quiet moment alone with her son to ask him if he understood what the birds and the bees mean. "Oh, sure, Mom. It means no Mercedes." Now, I have to act this one out, and you can't see that on the tape. But I hope you get the point, and maybe I can inflect it. Art. One of my co-workers was commenting that he's not worried about going to heaven because every week at church all the people say "Art in heaven" as part of their prayers. One of the secretaries heard this remark and retorted, "No, that's not what they're saying. They're saying, who? Art in heaven?" And this is a short one. Politics is a lot like religion, except in politics, it's your opponent who confesses your sins. And this is one for church. The strong man at a circus sideshow demonstrated his power before a large audience. Toward the end of his act, he squeezed the juice from a lemon between his hands. He then said to the audience, "I will offer $200 to anyone in the audience who can squeeze another drop from this lemon." A slightly scholarly-looking man came forward, picked up the lemon, strained hard, managed to get a drop. The strong man was amazed, paid the man back, and asked, "What's the secret of your strength?"
practice. I was the treasurer in my church for 32 years. And this one says, oops, like, you know, blooper. On the morning I was to start my job, this is the daughter talking, start my job as a receptionist at a funeral chapel, I stopped at my father's home for a little moral support. He said all the right things to bolster me, my ego, and when it came time to leave for work, he walked me to my car, patting me gently on the back, and he said, okay, knock him dead. And finally, a few short ones here. Sign outside a Canadian church. Sermon for Sunday. What is hell like? Just below, someone scribbled, come in and hear the choir sing. I don't know how you react to this. It seems to be demeaning to women, so I let you ladies judge. In a news story in the Syracuse Herald Journal, quote, next year, the six-member board will include two Democrats, four Republicans, and three women. Okay, all the ladies have thumbs down on that one. That's for the audience listening. No laugh. All women here.
That's a male audience joke.
That's a male chauvinist joke, right?
Well, I didn't want to say that.
All right. Well, we'll leave that for posterity. That's the kind maybe we should record in the future. But I know probably some men will laugh at that. Because I guess women have their own opinions, no matter whether they're Republicans, Democrats, socialists, or what, communists or whatever, right?
Knock them dead.
Well, you better not go out that door. You better go out the side door here. This is getting better as we go along here. All right. Now, as you know, I belong to this association. It's called the Association of Merry Christians. And their newsletter is called the Joyful Noise Letter. So here are some of the contributions. This priest, his name is Father Michael Hyduk, pastor of a Byzantine Catholic church in Cleveland, Ohio. He had a new group of preschoolers and a daycare center. And he had started at the center, and one boy, about three, asked the priest, why do you dress funny? So Father Hyduk told him he was a priest, and this was the uniform that priests wear. And the boy pointed to his collar insert, exactly what I'm wearing, and asked, does that hurt? Do you have a boo-boo there?
It looks like a bandage.
And so the priest took the plastic collar out, showed it to the boy, and the name of the manufacturer is embossed on the reverse side. The boy felt the letter, and the priest asked him, do you know what those words say? And he couldn't read it all, but he said, yes, I do. It says, kills ticks and fleas up to 6 months. Of course, that's your cat collar, right?
Yeah.
And your dog collar.
Sure.
Now, this one, a minister cut his sermon short when he overheard a little boy in the front seat ask his mother, Mommy, Are you sure that this is the only way to get to heaven? I don't think you got that. The sermon was too long. All right. Now, this pastor asked, Johnny, do you know where little boys go if they don't put their money in the collection plate? Yes, pastor, the boy said. They go to the movies. And then these small children were discussing heaven in a Sunday school class. A little girl said, if you are good, you'll go to heaven. A little boy asked, where do you go when you're bad? And she said, to the principal's office. And then there are some one-liners. You know the expression Jesus used in the gospel, give to Caesar?
Yes.
Well, this is worded this way. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but don't overlook the deductions. And along this line, it's more blessed to give than to receive, and it's deductible. And this is from a pastor in North Baltimore, Ohio. God designed the human body so that we can neither pat our own backs nor kick ourselves too easily. Children sometimes make remarks that are very insightful. They see things just as it is, and they don't have the background that we have. Now, this Catholic priest is wearing a green chasuble, and you know that's the outer garment like I wore this morning. And he was greeting parishioners after Mass, when a mother came out of the church laughing with her very small son, and she explained to Father Burns that at the end of the Mass, her son had tugged on her dress and asked, Mama, who's the man in the green nightgown? And then these lads were being, or children, being prepared for confession. And this sturdy boy, about 8, went for his first confession. And Father Carroll is his name, in a parish in Australia. After a few words he put to the boy at ease, he asked, would you like to tell me your sins? Sure, the boy answered. Which ones do you want, the good ones or the bad ones? Now, he was followed by a little girl. And so the priest welcomed her, asking, how are things with you? And she said, fine, what about yourself?
He was good.
I don't think a nun would like to be called this, but this is the impression this little fellow had. At this community, religious order of nuns, they have a rest home for sisters at Bat Cave. In the Episcopal Diocese, Western North Carolina. An elderly nun was trying to cross a busy street in town. A small boy offered to help her to the other side. The nun thanked him, and then she got the reply, oh, that's all right. Any friend of Batman is a friend of mine. And a reporter once asked a man who was 105 years old about his secret for living a long life. And he said, don't know for certain yet. My lawyer is negotiating with 2 breakfast food companies. Thinking about that one. He did not want to commit himself publicly.
Yeah, until he got the money.
Well, I guess that one is buried where it should be.
Yeah.
In a secret cave somewhere. But sometimes we have cartoons that are permissible to put in the Sunday bulletin. And I didn't quite check them all out here, but I have several newsletters here that will supply us. This was in Manitoba, in Canada, an Anglican church, St. Matthew's. And the man listening, or rather, he was in a nursing home, and he was bringing the Easter communion to the patients, the shut-ins. And he came across an elderly man who had dozed off. Now, he was dressed in Easter garments, vestments. As he walked in, the man was startled awake. His eyes bulged. He looked at the white-robed pastor, and he said, "So, you've come for me at last, have you? It's about time. Take me, I'm ready." But on Easter Sunday, he had to conduct services at two parishes. The first service went longer than he had planned, and being late for the next service, he hopped into the car, still wearing his white vestments, and drove off. When he arrived at the second church in a nearby town, he noticed two children playing on the lawn across the street. As he jumped out of the car, remembering all his vestments flying, and dashed into the church, he heard one of the children say, "Look, it's Jesus." And the other child responded, "Yeah, and he's late for church." One Sunday morning, this priest's name is Father Ambrose, St. Charles Church, and he preached on the theme of the U.S. Army TV commercial, "Be All That You Can Be." Greeting the people after church, he jokingly told one parishioner, "You need to join the Army of the Lord." "I'm already in the Army of the Lord," the man replied. "Then how is it that I only see you at Christmas and Easter time?" the priest said in jest. The parishioner whispered in Father's ear, "I'm in the Secret Service."
That's a good one.
And sometimes children play on words that sound similar to what we say. And you remember at the after the preface of the Mass, we say, "Hosanna in the highest." Mm-hmm. All right. The picture shows a mother with two toddlers in tow, and one of them is saying to the mother, "That sure made me hungry, Mom, when we sang Lasagna in the highest." And then some one-liners. "He who makes us laugh is a comic, and he who makes us think and then laugh is a humorist." Now, you're not supposed to laugh on that one. But it's an idea. When you are really holy, you see many things to laugh at in life. That means you see things as they really are, many of them funny. See? They're not distorted. And I have a little sharing from Bob Hope, as a matter of fact, and how he confirms humor. He said, "The wonder drug I recommend to all my friends is laughter. It provides the invisible armor we all need to protect us from the stresses of life. I have made a career out of laughing, and it's kept me happy and healthy for 88 years. And we've heard Bob Hope, and he has many jokes. Well, I've told you some that I thought I shared with you some time ago, and I've come across a few since I've been away, and one of them has to do with a golfer. And he went to confession to the priest, and he said, "Father, I used profanity while I was playing golf." And the priest said, "Young man, I'm a golfer too, and I can understand what happened." Well, he said, "Father, as I teed off, I hit the ball 240 yards, and it hit a sprinkler, and it bounced into the woods." "Oh, my son, that's when you use profanity." "No, no. Even while I was in the woods, I got a fantastic stroke, and I hit it, and it went into a sand trap." "Oh, that's when you use profanity, my son." "No, no." "And then I took out my sand wedge, and I got another fantastic shot, and it went right up to the green, 4 inches from the cup." "And that's when you use profanity?" "No." "Oh, my goodness, don't tell me you missed that 4-inch cut putt." All right. Many drivers in town honk their horns as they drive through a long underpass. When I approached it one day, I decided to test my horn, which occasionally malfunctioned. This is a woman talking. As I tooted it, I heard a police siren behind me and pulled over. The patrol car stopped too, and an officer got out, walked up to my car. "I'm sorry, ma'am," he said. "I was just testing my siren, too." Well, I'm just tempted to give you one more. This is a housewife joke, and you housewives need it, right? The speaker at our women's club was lecturing on marriage and asked the audience how many of us wanted to mother our husbands. One member in the back row raised her hand. "You do want to mother your husband?" the speaker asked. "Mother?" the woman echoed. "I thought you said smother." I have to finish this. Just one more. Like most married couples, my wife and I disagree occasionally. Our spats usually end in silence, followed by her mumbling under her breath. This scenario played itself out once as I was watching TV. After our silence came the mumbling from the kitchen, where she was preparing dinner. I was determined to have the last word this time. "If you've got anything to say, say it out loud," I insisted. Very slowly, she repeated what she had said. "One cup of flour, 2 eggs, bake at 350 degrees.